Our focus this month is living as compassionate conduits. We are the ones we've been waiting for, or God is not motivated if you aren't. And what does that all mean? So we are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek. And I'd like you to think about something, and I'll cover it a little bit more in depth as we move forward. The thing is that, what does that phrase mean to you? We are the change that we seek, or we are the ones we've been waiting for. And I know you're thinking, oh, like somehow you're supposed to do this huge thing and you're supposed to make a huge difference in the world and it's supposed to be on the front page of the newspaper and it's supposed to be this grand thing. No. You know where it begins? Take a guess. Like everything with unity, within. So let me give you an example. And I want you to raise your hand. I'll pretend that I can see it. I can feel it, though. Raise your hand if this is true for you. You don't always ask for help when you need help. Mm-hmm. And I'm there too. So you know what? This change that you've been looking for sometimes requires other people to be involved. And the only way that can happen is for you to ask for help. And it may not be the kind of help that you're in a disaster or crisis. Maybe it's because you want to know something and someone has that information. It could be a number of things. But, you know, we have been criticized as the Unity New Thought movement from the standpoint that, oh, we're just all so happy, 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 and affirmative, and all of this stuff, but I'm living in this crisis. How come you guys are so happy? Like, how is this going to help me? And the thing is that, yes, we are. We focus on what it is that we choose to have happen in our life. Because as I have moved forward, what I focus on grows has become very evident. But the thing is that there still is reality right here and now. And having to face that is the first step. Not to ignore it, not to squish it down, not to try and push it away, but to say, yes, this is where I'm at. And then through prayer and meditation, open up to how to move forward from that. And the answer may be that someone walks through your door or gives you a phone call or you get an insight of what it is that you're to do next. And that's how it works. So we're not a passive way of looking at life and spirituality. We require action as well as connection. Do you get that? Because that's how we moved forward together. So this is from the Hopi Elders Prophecy, June 8th, 2000, and I thought it was really relevant today. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves, banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we've been waiting for. You know, the Hopi elders, like all of us, when we are in prayerful meditation, connect with the wisdom of spirit, which is so much greater than we are, with a kind of wisdom that is always looking for the highest and best to unfold in our lives. And it's only in being open to that 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 starts to happen, because it's there all the time. It's just a matter of, you know, you heard the saying, knock and the door shall be open, but you have to knock. You have to knock first. So God or spirit is inherently neutral. Think it, feel it, believe it, and act on it, Charles Dickens, are the three things that we're going to look at today. So God's spirit is inherently neutral. And what does that mean? I know that, you know, we've all been taught that God is all these different attributes: love, kindness, courage, fulfillment, joy, peace, all of those things. Yes, in possibility. We are the hands and feet. We are the embodiment of spirit. We are what puts those inherent attributes into action. Spirit doesn't compel you to do that. You get to choose to do that, to be that. And so spirit is neutral, just like mathematics and music is neutral until it's being used. And then, like that song we sang this morning, it's not neutral at all when you, as the individual, are participating in it. Does that make sense? So God as principle is the unchangeable life, love, substance, and intelligence of being. A parallel may be found in the principle of mathematics or music. Principle does not occupy space. And I remember the first time that I heard that concept of God is principle. I was still in that mode of God is sort of human-like, you know, because they say that we're created in the image and likeness of God. So somehow I thought that God would look like me or somebody that was an authoritarian kind of figure. The thing is that God is this essence that is undefinable because it's infinite and because it is just, it's everything. And our words aren't enough to really describe it. Just like mathematics, the concept of mathematics is easy to understand. And when somebody works with it, it will do all kinds of things if you work with it the way that it's intended to be worked with. The same with music. Music can be done poorly, or it can be done really beautifully, and it really depends on who's listening. God is the same thing. It's responding to each of us individually. Can you make that connection? So what would teaching our children look like if we started right from when they were wee babes to this idea that God is not this anthropomorphic God with a big G on its chest sitting in a chair, but it's the essence in which we live, breathe, and have our being? It'd be really different, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be that children, some children would grow up with a fear of a God that either is wrathful or loving or any of the other things that children may have been taught originally. So just something to think about. Isn't it easier to love God as principle? And I ask that question only because when I understood that God was principle, I was able to love God. When I thought God was a man who either heard me or didn't hear me, liked what I said or didn't like what I said, or just ignored me or whatever, I couldn't love something like that because that just seemed too radical and you couldn't kind of pin down how it was going to respond. Whereas once I understood that God is principle, that God responds exactly according to my thoughts and beliefs, even if I'm not speaking them out loud, if they're in my heart, that God is responding to me, I can love something like that because it loves me. It loves you. True fair play is the expression of God, like truthfulness, honesty, straight dealing, purity, goodness, harmony. They're all attributes of God, but we put action to those. Jesus said, "The Father is greater than all," in John 10:29. If the Father, God, is greater than anything that is, then it is not correct to limit God to things that exist. And the thing is that people will say, well, I am God, as though somehow you could put God into a container. Yes, I'm an aspect of God, I'm an expression of God, but there is so much more. And it is this unseen essence that is everywhere. It is love. Think it, feel it, believe it. It is the worst of times and it is the best of times, Charles Dickens. We live in a time of global warming, wars, pandemics, and poverty, and yet at the same time, we live in a time of global enlightenment. We live in a time where we can choose how we respond no matter what's going on outside of us. And that's love. That is God's love, God's grace, as who we are. And it will say yes if I want to be in crisis mode about global warming, about wars, about pandemic, about poverty. Or it can be a yes when I say, what is mine to do? with global warming? What is mine to do as spirit through me, having to do with war and conflict or about pandemics? And you know, the answer for me at this point is I go into meditation and prayer. And then I can say I have prayerfully considered this. The answers I got are what I'm going to do. And tomorrow I'll ask again, or in 5 minutes I'll ask again. And the answers are always there. Usually they're the quietest answers. Usually they're sometimes the answers you don't want to hear because you think, no, it can't be that simple. Or really, you want me to do that? But God responds. So Jesus suggested that we bless our enemies. And he wasn't really talking about people, though in that time he probably did refer to individuals as well. But I interpret this as deliberately changing my negative patterns, which I have built, which you have built too, into creative positive patterns that will produce what you really want. And so blessing my enemies is to say, yes, I've been thinking negatively. I've been thinking in ways that have created a life of crisis and turbulence for myself. And I can choose differently. I can choose more positive, creative ways to be. And the more that I do that, they become patterns. And then they become my life all of the time, not just some of the time. It starts the creative process producing what you want. All this seems so simple, but it's actually not. And I'm sure that you can nod yes to that. You know, I can give you all these great concepts and it's like, yeah, I really get it here. But then it's to live it, to be it. And it requires self-discipline. And you must really want to change. You know, I've had a few conversations this week and actually over the last little while about how we know in our head what we ought to do. And we say to ourselves, you should, you ought to, and why aren't you? But until you really feel compelled to do it, nothing's going to change because you need to make a deep decision, not a surface decision. It starts with something like spiritual treatment or prayer, where you work to shift your attention from the negative focus to the positive idea and holding it there long enough for it to register in your subconscious mind. And I'd like to even change that word holding to, you know, we say that the prayers are always answered. Yes, they are, but have you been open to the response? So if you haven't received what you think is the answer to a prayer, perhaps you need to keep praying until you are finally open, until you finally surrender to say, okay, fine, I will do that thing that you've been compelling me, you, as in the greater part of you, is compelling you to do. So we are the ones we've been waiting for. Our love can change the world. You and I are the chosen right now in this moment. We are the people of motion. Our love's gonna change the world. Look up this song by Kimi Minor. It is it's just called We Are the Ones, and it's fabulous on YouTube. As I change my thoughts and beliefs, the world around me changes. My God mind is the mind of God itself. So are you ready to change your beliefs? Is there something that has not been quite the way you'd like it to be? It begins with you. I hope you say yes. So God is not motivated if you aren't. You know, you can't just sit there and expect something to happen. And that's why in Unity Principles, we teach not only prayer and meditation and recognizing that God is all there is and that God is good, but that when you get prompted, you must take action. You must be part of the solution. Until we set the law in motion with our own thoughts and emotions, nothing's going to happen. We are the ones we've been waiting for. So act on it. No one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of another. Charles Dickens, I like that. And we all have the opportunity first to lighten our own burdens so that we can lighten someone else's. But the opposite is true too. You may not know how to lighten your own burdens, but I'm telling you that if you experiment with attempting to lighten someone else's burdens, something magical happens, and your own burdens lighten as well. Because the thing is that you cannot do something loving and supportive for someone else without receiving it 100-fold for yourself. So this is full screen, Randy, please. This is from Facebook, and I thought I would copy the whole thing just because I thought it was really wonderful. We are now a solid 8 months into this, as in the pandemic. If you're not working, not getting a paycheck, struggling to make ends meet, and run out of food or necessities, please don't let yourself or your kids go to sleep with an empty stomach. Don't be afraid or embarrassed to send me a private message. I am more than happy to help. I will drop and go or order for delivery. No one has to know, and I will pretend it never happened. What's understood never has to be explained. I'm drop dead serious. This is a minister I know in California. And I was looking at that and thought, you know, we can all do that. But we can only do it if somebody tells us that they want to receive. And so if you're struggling, reach out. Let us know, let me know, let your friends know, let your family know. Don't sit in that crisis and think that somehow God's going to solve the problem because you're hanging on to it. No, be willing to be vulnerable. Be willing to be afraid and suffering and whatever it is that you need to do. Be willing to cry and ask for help, because sometimes we need that extra little bit of help. And maybe you and I are the ones that are giving the help to someone else. When you take the time to be vulnerable enough to say, I'm a human being, and yes, I'm attempting to have more of a spiritual experience, but right now life sucks and I need help. It's okay. I love you no matter what, and I don't need to tell anybody about it. Just reach out. Reach out to me or to anyone who you know, because we're here to help. So in prayer, we shift our attention away from circumstances and focus on our spiritual nature, our oneness with the infinite. From this state of awareness, we know there is truth beyond our circumstances. We have the capacity to think and act accordingly. So let's take the five steps of prayer that Unity talks about. And you could close your eyes during this process, or you can follow along and read if you like. But set in your mind perhaps something that you're struggling with, or something that you would like to see unfold and how that feels for you. And now begin with the relaxation process. So breathe deeply and focus within. Become willing to know a truth that frees you from all concerns. So take deep, conscious breaths as you relax your body and release busy thoughts. Feel your heart opening up. And now allow your power of concentration to recognize the power of God as life, as love, as wisdom, as ever-present good. Center your thoughts on the ever-present energy of God in your life. You might want to inhale, God is, and exhale, I am. God is, I am. And now in meditation, in silent reflection, see that the power of God is the same power within you, your divine potential. And I'll give you about a minute to do that. In this silence, Experience the power of your own divinity, knowing you share all the attributes of God: love, strength, wisdom. And using your ability to realize, know that you have the power to be, to do, to have, and to allow the good you desire. Perhaps you'll feel a click as everything falls into place and you know all is well, regardless of outer circumstances. You know it is already done. And so wrap all of this up in appreciation. Grateful for your growing spiritual awareness, you are empowered to live fully now and into a fulfilling future. And as you move forward in your day, empower your life with every expression of gratitude that you can think of. And when you're ready, bring your attention back to the room. Now, I know that was a little bit like speed dating. You get to do it at your own pace. And I've posted these steps on Facebook, on our Facebook page, Unity Spiritual Center, with a link to all of that I just read to you, so that you can follow along and create your own prayer style, knowing that Spirit knows your heart. And Charles Dickens said this: we need never be ashamed of our tears. And I know for a lot of years I was ashamed of my tears. And now I basically wear my heart on my sleeve. I know that. I always have. I cry when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm excited. I mean, it is just one of the ways that I express in life. And we've been taught, many of us, as children, to swallow it, suck it up. And the thing is, that what I'm here to tell you is the way that we can make an impact in the world, the way that you can make an impact in the world, is by honoring you first. Cry if you need to, yell if you need to, pound on something if you need to. Do it well, and then let it go. And allow for something else to come in. Rather than squelching it down, give it expression. And so during these rituals, through Christmas time, especially the burning bowl, is your opportunity to let go of all that stuff and allow Spirit to come in and fill your life with all that is good for you. So reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has many, not on your past misfortunes, of which all men have some. Charles Dickens, again, A Christmas Carol. And so I invite you, as you move into this holiday season, and technically we begin Advent next week, to focus on what are your blessings and be willing to just release, however you need to release, your past misfortunes, because they do not need to define you. So God's Spirit is inherently neutral. It's waiting for you to take action. So think it, feel it, believe it. And then act on it. Remember the words of Charles Dickens: act on it. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Say this one with me, with the I am. I am the one I've been waiting for. I am the one I've been waiting for. And so it is. Let's anchor this with this wonderful song. Yes, God, I believe.
Will this day I be a blessing? Will this year be better than the last? Will I calm the voice that hounds me? discard the demons of the past. Well, I step out of my faith now, live the truth I've come to know, throw my dreams into the river, let these four words help them flow. Singing, yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe. Sing it with me now. Yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe. Maybe it's a body that needs healing, a relationship that's warm, or a child that is in trouble. There's a friendship that's been torn, or here's a job that needs new vision, a bank account that needs relief. I don't have to tell you all my problems. I just gotta rest in your belief. Singing, yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe. Sing it with me now. Yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe. I believe in your goodness. I believe in your grace. I believe that your power is flowing through me in this space. For you've given me guidance, and you gave me desire, and you would not have set this flame in my heart if I could not start a fire. So yes, I believe, God, I believe. Yes, I believe, God, I believe. Sing it with me now. Yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe. One more time. Yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe.